Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Irvin, Deuce McAllister, Bobby Hebert. I'm Christian Garrick, live at Walk-On's Bistro and Bar here in Metairie. Fun 2 hours. Got to talk to pretty much the entire coaching staff. Deuce, what was your biggest takeaway maybe from Coach O? And I think it was the amount of official visits that they announced.
Well, that because you only get 56. And they've already hosted 24 players. But when you look at what they have, talking to Coach O, they already have 20 commitments. So they're really only chasing 5 players. And obviously you want to keep your group together. But they've done a lot of work. And so I think what's impressive is not a day off in June because of the camps, but then also hosting official visits. So the hay is kind of in the barn for them on this year's upcoming class. And what's interesting is I wonder how many of those 20 commitments will sign in December. And then also how many of those guys, whether a junior college and or high school, will enroll in January. You know, because if you can get some of those guys in, let's just say 7, 8, 9 guys in during the spring, that helps not only you from a development standpoint from that prospect, but that helps the team to kind of understand and know what type of team they're going to have in the spring.
I thought it was also interesting that Coach O pointed out that his own players were organizing these practices.
Yeah.
That the coaches can't attend, but this is all a lot to do with Joe Burrow.
Well, and a lot of that also when you talk about some of the analysts that those guys have, and if you can, you have the funding to be able to have them on. And this is every school does it. If you can have them on the strength and conditioning, this coach, he works mainly with the running backs. Well, he can put them through some of the drills that they would normally do with the running backs. The coaches, the top 10, they can't be out there. But, I mean, if you've got a veteran group, particularly a quarterback, then you've got a leader on the defensive side like a Grant Delpit that can say, hey, look, we're getting together. We're going to walk through. You know, we'll do 7-on-7 maybe on Thursday. I think that only helps from a chemistry standpoint, but that helps from a development standpoint as well.
Deuce and Christian here. Phone lines are open at 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. Also, a Blue Runner opinion poll online, Blue Runner Gumbo opinion poll online at WWL.com. Will the LSU Tigers make the college football playoffs this year? 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. We'll step away and come back and also break down College World Series. Michigan and Vanderbilt, best of 3 series. How about Michigan? Number 48 overall seed in this NCAA baseball tournament, making it to the College World Series final. Just goes to show you how much parity there is in the sport of college baseball. This is Sports Talk on WWL. College World Series finals just underway. Game 1 between Michigan and Vanderbilt. Michigan on top 1-0. They could have been up 2-0. Made a base runner mistake trying to stretch a first to third. Got thrown out at third. Otherwise, Michigan would have a crooked number early in this ballgame. And Bobby's got some Michigan facts he wants to throw our way.
Well, Nate Christian, I got a question for you. But before, this is like their home field. They played in Nebraska. If you look, the state of Nebraska, now, you know, it's a lot of pressure considering where they're at. Their first national title, they're chasing that. They haven't had that since 1962. I mean, I was 2 years old. You and Deuce weren't even born to show you how irrelevant their baseball program has been. But you know what's interesting is that you look at Lincoln, Nebraska, and where they're at, because Nebraska is in the Big Ten. And they lost to Nebraska, and that cost them the Big Ten regular season title and the walk-off win in the conference tournament in TD America Stadium that probably I don't know, save their spot in a national tournament, considering where they're at. So if you look at it, Christian, this will be, they're playing their 9th game at TD Ameritrade in 34 days. So you know how we go to Hoover?
Right.
We're the Big Ten, that's where they go. So I'm telling you, this is not, they're not out of their element. So I thought that was impressive. Their ninth game at TD Ameritrade in 34 days. But the question I have for you, and I thought was interesting, is that, because I brought this up before the World Series started, that you look at Michigan and where they're at, they were batting a team average of 264, and that average was the lowest amongst college World Series teams. 264, okay? You might say, well, they got to hit the ball better. But if you look at it, Michigan's batting average in the College World Series is the best, but it's only 276. So they went from 264 to 276, which is the worst going into the College World Series. Now it's the best at 276. But what impressed me, I guess, this is where the proof's in the pudding. You look at their pitching staff, the ERA has only been 2, with 25 strikeouts in 27 innings. They're the only team that has played error-free baseball. And you look at, this is a fantasy, their walk-on first baseman, Jimmy Kerr, he's batting .462, 2 homers, a triple, a double. But the point being...
And that's just in the World Series.
Yes, they didn't increase their batting average that much, but it still goes back to pitching. Not making any errors. The only team not making any errors. And 25 strikeouts out of 27 innings and only giving up 2 runs a game.
And baseball is that way. Typically,
what's been the fielding percentage?
It's 1,000. They haven't made an error yet.
Dude's the only team that pitching has not made defense, an error out of the 8 teams.
Pitching and defense in baseball typically wins over great hitting. It just does.
Well, look how they beat Florida State. What was it, 1-0?
You're right.
And then look at all of a sudden with LSU, we're all excited. Remember they were up 4-0. They should be up 6-0 4-0.
I knew that they were dangerous, not when they won the Corvallis Regional, but they went to UCLA and shut down a really good offense for the most part and competed with them. And that's how you kind of knew they had a shot to make a run, especially when they bounced the number one team in the country in the Super Regional at their place. Now, keep in mind, they won the Corvallis Regional, the Los Angeles Super Regional, to get to the College World Series. Now, and they beat Arkansas. They bounced them out.
Now, you know what's interesting? Can Michigan all of a sudden shocked the world and beat Vanderbilt 2 out of 3.
Well, right now they're up 2-0.
Yeah, because you look at Vanderbilt, they were expected to be there, sure, considering their season. But, Deuce, we were talking about this at the break. This is before the regional started. Man, I don't know if you're a diehard Michigan Wolverine fan. They were 200-1 to win the College World Series. You know, somebody put $100 or $1,000, whatever. Considering 200-1, I thought that was unbelievable. But you look at Vanderbilt. That's why I just don't know if Michigan has enough. And I think it's good for baseball if they upset Vanderbilt, even though Vanderbilt is the SEC, for baseball as a whole, because you have a northern team involved. When you look at Vanderbilt, they were first in the SEC in batting average, slugging at .318, slugging percentage .525, on base percentage. 418. They were averaging almost 9 runs a game, and they also led the SEC in homers. So you kind of expected this. The one that was disappointing who lay an egg 2 years in a row was Arkansas.
Right.
Well, Arkansas, they were a foul ball away last year.
Yeah, from winning the championship.
From winning the championship, and they technically weren't expected to get back.
But then they got back.
But then when they got back, yeah, they didn't. They didn't perform.
Ofer. Yeah.
Baseball is that weird sport. Who are you pulling for? Wouldn't you like to see Michigan, because it's an odd story, it's a great story, pull this thing off?
Yeah, even though it is against an SEC team? Because I think it would be good for baseball from the standpoint of getting more recognition, not only in the deep south of the SEC, the ACC. You'd have to say somewhat, I don't know, the Pac-12. You think they'd have a top-notch college baseball like in the south because of California. But you'd have to say this year, they definitely were overrated. Look at Oregon State. I mean, Michigan went to that regional, had to travel. Then you look at Michigan went to UCLA, Stanford. So I would say this is good for baseball if a Big Ten team could win, because you'd expect more a Pac-12, a SEC, or an ACC team winning. But the only thing is, I think it's fair, though, because, Deuce, whoever wins this is truly the champion, because it's a series. Okay, you got to win two out of three. And then that's why I think if Michigan can win two out of three, then hell yeah, they're the best team in the nation. And you cannot say that they lucked out. Now, if they win tonight.
They got to see Rocker.
Yeah. Can they win one of the next two?
Yeah, Kumar Rocker. I think the freshman, that dude's going to be pitching in the big, he could pitch in the big leagues today.
Well, he could have went straight from high school.
Right.
You know, that's Tracy's, Rocker's yeah. son. His dad is the D-line coach over at Tennessee. He was played in the NFL, was at Auburn for a long time, and so that's his dad. So you know the bloodline.
Yeah, good pedigree there.
Yeah, the bloodline is strong, and so he's done phenomenal this offseason.
Boy, but you look at Vanderbilt, they set a record for wins, most wins ever. They're 57-11 going into the championship. Now, are they the top SEC program as of late? You know, what have you done for me lately? The reason why I bring that up, they won the 2014 title, and they returned to the College World Series Finals in 2015, and look, they're back in. So I don't know.
Yes.
That's a handful. You'd have to say,
yes.
That they number one, right?
Yeah, I think they're the most consistent college baseball program
in the country.
Right,
as of late.
And look, what let this serve, too. If Michigan does pull this off, doesn't it lend credence to it lends credence for those that are supporting Paul Maneri, just to show you the parity in college baseball. The ones that were ready to fire Paul Maneri after they lost to Florida State in the Super Regional, this is hard evidence that college baseball has so much parity for a 48th national seed. All right, if you wanted to seed them out, they would have been the 48th seed in this tournament. Here they are among the final two teams standing.
Well, the proof's in the pudding, and you don't think coaching makes a difference? Now, I don't know if I'm butchering his name. How you say the Michigan head coach, Bakich? Bakich?
Yeah.
Do you know where he laid the groundwork? He was on that Vanderbilt staff. He said that the 7 years he spent at Vanderbilt from 2003 to 2009 as an assistant to Carbon shaped him into the coach and leader that he is.
The athletic director of Michigan's a Brother Martin grad.
So a lot of ties.
Yeah, you got a local tie there. If you're pulling for the local team, right, you would want that. Michigan on top right now, bottom of the first, 2-0 over Vanderbilt, game one of the three-game series at the College World Series. Phone lines are open at 504-260-1870, text 870-870. Just wrapped up the LSU coaches caravan. LSU coach Ed Ogeron, along with his staff, kind enough to join us for 2 hours. Steve Insminger, Dave Aranda, Joe Brady. What was your first impressions of Joe Brady, Deuce?
First impressions of him as
I know you knew him, but I'm talking about as here today.
Joe hadn't changed. I mean, I think he's still the same person. I mean, I think the biggest thing for him and is working in it, you want to throw, and he talked about it, you want to throw so much at those young men and see what they can handle. And they did it probably a little bit in spring, but the one advantage that you have in the NFL and you don't have in college is how much time that you can spend with those young men. And in the NFL, I mean, look, that's their job. In college, they have to go to class. You know, you have to be able to give them as well as far as to be able to develop as a young man, and so you don't get them as much. So I can't give them 35 concepts, you know, particularly for today. And tomorrow I'll give you another 20 concepts to see what you can actually hold. And you know, that goes back to playbook wise, what you're taking into a game. You want to be good at what you do, and to be able to do that, you want to rep it. You want to be able to get consistent reps at a particular play or a particular front. And so I think that's probably the biggest thing with him. The longer he has with those young men, then I think the better off that he's going to be and they will be, just because they will be able to get that repetition.
Well, and what I think with Coach Brady is, like, they have to be able to grasp it. And that being where it's second nature and you're not just winging it. You got to have great athletic ability, but to me, to be truly successful and you're leading an offense, you got to know what the hell you're doing. And I think more than anything, what I witnessed this spring, that I think it'll be an area of strength, is the quarterback position. I think Joe Burrow and Miles Brennan, that they understand the task at hand and be able to grasp it, because you know what, a lot of times when you're playing quarterback, you could think you know what you're doing, but do you really know it? Is it second nature? Can you make those decisions like, bam, bam, this, I know what I'm doing, how I'm trying to attack a defense? And then when they put stuff on your plate, because you might say, well, Drew Brees could do it. Well, hell, there ain't too many Drew Breeses out there. Huh. that you're thinking, oh, why can Drew do it and you can't do it? No, I'm telling you, that's why you give him an opportunity. And I'm not saying on the Drew Brees level, but I think mentally, because they're mature enough and now they have enough experience, I think both Joe Burrow and Miles Brennan, they're going to have that 1-2 punch at the quarterback position, that they're going to be in good hands to be able to execute the offense at a high level and get the ball into players' hands that can make plays. And a simple pass, like I said, going the right place, even though they're blitzing, not like a normal fan would say, if all of a sudden the quarterback gets sacked, oh, the line's not blocking, what are they doing? No, the ball got to come out the quarterback hands because it's hot. He got to know where he's going with the ball. And it might be a simple throw. You threw it 6-7 yards, and then all of a sudden you get 12 plus, 15, or you busted.
Well,
it's because the quarterback knows where to go with the ball.
Yeah, but, Bobby, if it's zero, you can redirect the line.
If you
got a true understanding of it, unless it's zero
pressure. But what I'm saying, even if you don't have time
correct.
To change a protection, you have to know where your outlets and not just take a sack.
No.
And now, like, oh, I don't, you know, and the coach asks, well, what did you see? I don't know. All I know is I got hit in the mouth. I don't know what they were doing.
Nah, you got a problem there.
Yeah, that's why I think we have enough experience right now with Joe Burrow and what they're doing, and even Miles Brennan. I'm not worried about the quarterback position going forward. I'm worried about the guys winning in the trenches up front, and then you possibly have a chance to maybe beat Alabama.
Bobby Hebert, Deuce McAllister, Christian Garrick live at Walk-On's Bistro and Bar here at Metairie till 8 o'clock tonight. Our CBS and local news headlines here on WWL. Back here live on Sports Talk, Walk-On's Bistro and Bar. Just wrapped up the LSU Coaches Caravan. Joining us now from one of my favorite shows on television right now, James Murray from Impractical Jokers. And James, thanks for joining us again. You got a new book coming out again, huh? James? Murr?
Hello?
It sounds like we got a bad connection here, so we'll put him on hold.
Hello?
Hey, James, you there?
Yep, I'm here.
Oh, okay. Hey, so hey, thanks for the time, and just tell us about another new book you got coming out. It's Conclusion.
It's called The Brink. It just came out a few days ago. It's a sequel to Awakened. It's Awakened is my first thriller. Came out last year, and we ended up hitting number one on the international bestseller list with it. It's like a scary, action-packed page-turner kind of thriller. The Brink is a sequel to it. It just came out last week.
James, I gotta ask you, why did the Jokers seem like they enjoy punishing you the most? Like whenever you lose a challenge, it seems like they take great pleasure in punishing you.
They do. They seem to have a lot of fun with my torture. I don't know. Like, I mean, on the TV show, I've had my nipples pierced. I've had my I've been thrown out of an airplane. I've had my eyebrows shaved off. I have a tattoo of a ferret skydiving on my leg. I don't know. I think it's because they're jealous. I think they're jealous.
James, what's with the fear of heights? I've watched you had a skydive, and that was – I felt sorry for
yeah.
you. I felt bad
for
you.
Skydiving.
Were ready to fight.
I went skydiving is what I did. Yeah, I know. You know, Sal and I are really scared of heights. We always have been, and I did not expect to get thrown out of an airplane. That was intense.
Give us a kind of a overview of your book for a reader that might want to be interested in going out and getting it. What are they getting into?
You know, it's a thriller. It's scary as heck. It's like a big summer beach reading. It's about the mayor of New York City on the hunt to bring down this mastermind villain that's been causing these creature attacks all around the world. It's got Nazis in it. It's got good versus evil in it. It's got the mayor of New York City and lots of like cool weaponry in it too. It is the most fun summer beach reading you'll ever have.
James, is it still amazing to you guys that I mean, you've been doing this show? I think what you're eight or nine seasons in now for.
Season eight is on TV. We are literally filming our 200th episode right now.
Okay, and you still don't get recognized at you're still able to pull some of these things off. It's surprising to me that more people don't recognize you guys while you're doing.
People don't really think that they're on TV. They might know all four of us together, but they only see one of us. And they don't realize that they're on TV. And to be perfectly honest, that's a good problem to have. It means we're doing our job right.
What's been the biggest reaction, or the strangest, or maybe weird reaction from somebody that has been on TV and they find out they're on TV and they actually get mad? How often does that happen?
It very rarely happens. And this is the point of the show, is to make people laugh, you know what I mean? So not really piss people off. And we're the butt of the joke, not the public. But the worst reaction I think we ever had was Sal was working behind the counter at a grocery store, and a woman wanted to go pay for the groceries with a credit card. And we said, Sal, nonchalantly take out your cell phone, snap a photo of her credit card as you ring her up. And she got a little pissed and called the 911. The cops came, and but they were fans of the show, so they kind of let us slide. So.
Now, Murr, did you keep that wig?
The wig is locked in a safe in New York City, safe and sound from fire, water, humidity, everything like that. It cost $10,000, that wig.
I think one of my favorite episodes was when you were punished. I think it was you had to prove that you were smarter than a third grader, and for every question he answered right, he got to take something out of your house, and he took the shower head and the doorknob,
yep,
et cetera. How much did that set you back?
Yep. That set me back about $3,000, that stupid punishment, because the guys didn't reimburse me. And
well, you know, Murr, I could say my favorite episode when you got your nipples pierced. And that,
yeah, you know, to this day, that
had to be pretty painful, especially when you don't want it done to you.
To this day, I have very pointy nipples as a result.
Hey, when's the cruise, the Tenderloins cruise?
The Joker's cruise and part four, this is the fourth cruise, is February 10th through the 14th from Miami to Nassau, Bahamas next year. And you can go to impracticaljokerscruise.com for all of the information.
James Murr, part of the Impractical Jokers, also author as well. Check him out. James, thanks for the time. And again, man, I'm a huge fan of the show. I binge watch.
Thanks, man.
In fact, I'm off tomorrow and Wednesday, and I'm probably going to be doing a lot of binge watching of the Impractical Jokers.
That's awesome, buddy. Appreciate the time.
All right, there he goes. James Murr. We'll step away and come back and get back to Sports Talk here on WWL. Phone lines are open at 504-260-1870. Text us at 870-870. Our Blue Runner Gumbo opinion poll online for you at WWL.com. Will LSU make the college football playoffs this year? Cast your vote online or call us at 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. Bobby and Deuce, I'm going to put you guys on the spot. You think LSU makes the college football playoffs this year?
I think they make the Final Four, but they don't win the championship. So I don't know. I'd say yes.
So that means you would have them at one loss.
Yes. Exactly.
To Alabama.
Adam, 11-1.
No.
No, Deuce?
No.
Who beats them that keeps them out?
If Deuce said yes, Ole Miss people, would come on, Deuce. They'd be
he's objective.
They're going to beat Ole Miss.
No, I know you're objective.
They're going to beat Ole Miss. That's not the question. I see them at 10-2.
Who's the second loss?
I don't know if they get into the it's probably a – Auburn. Probably Auburn.
Well, you can look at
You're either looking at Auburn or Florida.
Now, Deuce, you think they beat Texas at Texas? That's going to be tough.
That's a tough one. Yeah. I mean,
that's why I give them a chance to win 11 if they can beat Texas.
Yeah, well, I mean, even beating Texas, I think it comes down to SEC play, and then I think it comes down to health. I mean, because I know Coach O talked about that offensive line, but, man, they're going to be tested again from an offensive line standpoint. They lost another one, I think, today, or potentially losing another lineman. Cole Smith he was a number two center, a backup center. I think he's added his name into the transfer portal. And that's probably the biggest concern. You know, obviously we hadn't – you hadn't gotten to see the guys work over the summer. I mean, but it's going to be a situation, and they may have been banking on this anyway. But Cordell Thomas from Baton Rouge, I think he went to Southern Lab. The kid that run track.
He's
going to have to play. He is going to have to play, and I just don't know if they're going to have the depth on that offensive line. And I don't think that they'll be injured as much as they were last year. But I don't know if the depth is going to be there for them on the offensive line standpoint.
Well, they're going to have. If you look at the schedule, they're going to have an early open date. There's nothing wrong because September.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't think anybody's hurt by then.
No, that's what I was saying, Deuce. I mean, the only thing, dealing with the heat and humidity, a lot of times you could use that to your advantage. But September the 28th, open date. Then they got Utah State Aggies coming to town. And then they got the Florida Gators back in Baton Rouge after, what, two consecutive games in Gainesville. We all remember the rescheduling in 2016 game before what Hurricane Matthew. And then that's when, to me, the toughest stretch. Because, you know, you talk about SEC and winning on the road. That's the toughest stretch of the schedule. I look at Tigers play a 3-4 on the road with trips scheduled at Mississippi State. And then October the 19th, you got to go to Alabama November the 9th, Ole Miss November the 16th, around a home contest against the Auburn Tigers October the 26th. So I'm interested to see. I think they're going to be in good shape. They could be high on the hog, but that's going to be a stretch from October the 19th to November 16th, and what's going to occur. And then, obviously, you finish in the season back-to-back home games against Arkansas on the 23rd and the Aggies November the 30th, that being Texas A&M. So they play two Aggies. They play Utah State and Texas A&M. But around these parts, you know, we think of Texas A&M. That'll be a big revenge game, obviously, how it occurred with the overtime. You know, to come out on top with that. But, hey, the bottom line, much is given, much is required. And I don't know. You look like last year, Chris, remember you were saying? A lot of people were saying.
Over and under was seven wins last year.
And I thought that I had said they can get nine wins, and with a bowl win they could get to 10. And we're now, I think regular season is definitely double digits. Like Deuce, I would think 10 wins is the expectations are there in the regular season, and then you played a bowl game or you're in the playoffs, whatever. But I would say, way more optimistic. And like Coach O said when I talked to him earlier,
so
you got to just cut out that noise, whether it's positive or negative, and you could control.
Do you think 9 wins regular season is a successful season?
Not for this year's squad.
Nine wins is not successful.
Regular season wins.
Okay, no, this is what I would say. If 9 wins, the program is still headed in the right direction as far as I think from most of the fans' perspective, and then you win the bowl game, you get the 10 wins. But, Deuce, I think it also matters how you lose. You know, if it's like it's a hard-fought game.
I understand that.
Because, you know, the A&M game.
Yeah. I don't even count the A&M game
last
year.
That's
as a loss.
What I mean. Yeah, exactly.
I think you got cheated because you won that game three times.
Right. See, that, I think they view that as not. But then you lose how we lost to Alabama. That's not a good loss.
I understand that.
So I think it matters how you lose. But I think the expectation, like you said, is definitely double digits. I'm just maybe being more optimistic with 11 wins. But I think, yeah, that's not being far-fetched, 10 or 11 wins.
Nine wins is not a successful
season.
That's
the over and under win total from Vegas, the 9 wins.
So is that a successful season?
Based on what they did last year, I think, okay, so they overachieved last year. Wouldn't we say we would agree with that?
Yes.
They overachieved. So I think that would be looked upon as kind of, I agree with Bobby, they're staying the course. We didn't see an uptick, but you just certainly didn't see a downtick.
It's not like status quo. Yeah. It's kind of the same old, same old.
But I think given with this, what we're hearing, everything about Joe Burrow and the expectations based on last year, I think 9 wins, some fans will be disappointed. But still, 9 wins in this conference is hard to come by.
Well, nine wins and your 3 losses are to top 10 teams.
Well, yeah. Then yes, it's successful. But
more than likely what it'll be. If they lose to anybody, it will be a team that's in the top 10.
It'll be a team like Alabama. It'll be a what if one of the losses is to Texas?
I think Texas will probably be a top 15.
That's not far-fetched. I mean,
yeah, I think Texas is probably top 10, top 15 team.
I mean, I hope that don't happen for our sake with Joey Mandeville. He'll call for a whole month.
Oh, man, he'll wear the lines out.
Yeah, about that game. But, I mean, realistic, you know where you invest in your program, and you remember everybody's so ecstatic when you look at LSU. It's almost like, boy, can we make the Sweet 16? Well, now you look at the football, baseball programs. What are we saying with the baseball program? It's like Omaha or a bus. Oh, like, I don't know about
you're saying, football is playoffs or bus?
Yeah. Deuce, I'm telling you, there's a lot of people right now, they think we got to be in the Final Four. No, Deuce, I'm telling you, they think if we're not in the Final Four, maybe we got to make a coaching change, even though that's not fair. You know, I'm serious. They think, like, oh, did I say national championship?
Right. No, but I understand, be in the Final Four. What you're saying, but.
No, that could be unrealistic.
Deuce just laughs like I laugh at LSU baseball fans when they want to tell me about Paul Mainieri. Deuce, Bobby, and Christian here live at Walk-On's Bistro and Bar in Metairie. This is Sports Talk here
trust
on WWL.
Trust the process. I trust the process with Coach O and the recruits coming in. That in the hunt for years to come.
Back here on Sports Talk to the phones we go. LSU Joe in Biloxi. What's going on, LSU Joe? You're on WWL.
What's up, my guys? How we doing?
All right, Joe.
Joe, what's going on?
Hey, look, I got a little news flash for y'all. Mississippi State, Ole Miss. Hang on 1 second. Good Lord, have mercy. You ought to see this with jogging. Jesus.
LSU Joe.
Mississippi State, Ole Miss are going to be horrible. Okay, so we're going to roll those two. Alabama.
He said we're going to roll them because they're horrible.
Yeah, we're going to pound those two. Alabama's going to be very difficult, but we always have a week off to get ready for them. So we got 2 weeks, right?
Yeah, but they got a week off too. And it hasn't
that hasn't mattered. Helped in the last 10 years.
No, it
tell us something we don't know, Joe.
I'm worried about that game. Look. Load up your pickup truck with all the coin that you got and get over here to the bow and lay it on LSU against Texas. We will beat them by at least 13.
So we beat Texas by double digits.
Yeah, that's a 10 to 17 point game.
What?
It'll be tight at the half. They'll play tough for two quarters. They got no depth. And they lost eight, count them, eight on defense. Load up. The biggest problem we got, where Deuce may be right, we got to figure out a way to beat Auburn. If we beat Auburn, we're in the playoff, one loss, and then it just ultimately is going to boil down to where we're at. If we're number four, I don't want to play number one. I would rather be number three.
Yeah, the bottom line is you want to be in the Final Four.
Thanks for the call.
To go to the playoffs. And, so, yeah, that's kind of like, you get the Auburn Tigers at home. You got to go on the road at Alabama. It'd be interesting to see.
What's that spread right now, that Texas game? Texas 3.5?
3.5.
That's a field goal. I mean, that's normally what you get with that home field advantage.
So you're saying double digits. That'd be a con- – and the LSU was like I took a place, you know, all of a sudden they opened up the gaming in Mississippi. So I went at the Silver Slipper, helped them open it up, Deuce, and I took LSU in the 3.5.
That's for Miami.
Against Miami, yeah. And they waxed them. So you're giving me right now 3 points in LSU versus Texas? Yes, I would take that. Now, to me, if it's a double-digit win like it did against Miami last year, that's very convincing. But yeah, Miami wasn't as good as people thought.
But what did they do to Miami? They turned them over.
Yeah.
They were able to get turnovers. And that's what you got to do when you're on the road.
But they beat the snot out of their quarterback. But they put tremendous
pressure. Yeah, but, I mean, they played two quarterbacks at that point because he had zero confidence. But here's the problem.
But Miami was overrated. Look at their record.
They were overrated, but that game – it was in Houston.
No, it was Dallas.
I mean, in Dallas, it was, but what do they call those? The kickoff bowls or whatever.
Yeah, the kickoff class.
This is in Texas.
This is a home game.
That's what I'm saying.
It's a home game in Austin.
This is a home game for Texas.
Deuce, Bobby, and Christian. Sports Talk rolls on next hour live from Walk-On's Bistro and Bar here on WWL.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.